I'm really excited to be here with the crew from the film that opened this year's Edinburgh Film Festival. It was directed by Sylvain Chomet, currently showing in cinemas in Edinburgh. I saw it last weekend. It was based on a script written by Jack Tati, who's the French version of our Charlie Chaplin, mostly set in Edinburgh with Gaelic, French and English. And a really beautiful film, also quite a sad film, an animated film, The Illusionist. So I'm going to find out a bit more about the film, what it was like to work on the film, and also what they love about Leith, because they are Leithers themselves. So Fiona Hall, you are production manager on the film The Illusionist, or Illusionné, as they say in French. What was it like to work on this film?
We always knew it was going to be an exciting project because it was a collaboration of great artists. So Sylvain had come off working Belleville Rendezvous, which got an Oscar nomination. And Jacques Tati, obviously, was a great French auteur. He was he's very well respected in France. And that script was given to Sylvain kind of on the back of Belleville Rendezvous by his daughter. So even from the outset, we knew that it was going to be an exciting project. And I think I joined it over 3 years ago, when it'd already been running for about 2-3 months. And already at that point, we knew that we had a great crew and we knew that we had a great project. But as it developed and we started to see the development of the backgrounds and just how well the team had been able to capture the beauty and the essence of Edinburgh, that we kind of knew that there was something very exciting about the film that we're working on, and especially the fact that we were based in the heart of Edinburgh, we were based on George Street, so we knew that the places that we walked along, the places that our crew, ourselves, where we were living, where we were, was part of our film. That just made it that extra bit special.
And Justin, you were one of the assistant animators on the film. What bit were you working on yourself? What bit were you drawing? How does it feel to be one of the people that actually put their life into the film by drawing this script that had previously been unpublished?
To be able to work on a film of this calibre and it being traditional 2D drawn animation, where so much animation these days is computer generated, the hand drawing, the hand painting of the backgrounds, it's a completely different thing. It's like Disney used to be years and years ago. Just great skill and artistic ability brought together in one place was amazing in itself. So to have the opportunity to work in that atmosphere and on a film like this was something I'd never imagined I'd have the opportunity to, even when I was learning animation.
Which bit were you drawing?
My specific role as an assistant animator was to essentially clean up the drawings that the senior animator and the lead animators were producing. They would be working frame by frame, hand drawing, to create the life and the motion of the characters and to really put the feel of the acting and portray the story through that motion. Sometimes this wasn't the cleanest of lines, and so my job and the other assistants, our primary job was to take those animators' drawings and go back over them with a nice clean line, so that could then be sent on to the painters who would put the colour on. Occasionally we would get to do some in-betweening as well, which means doing some of the drawings in between the drawings that the senior animators have done, which are called keyframes. And this just helps to make the movement flow a little bit better and maybe iron out some of the wrinkles. So with that, I mean, I didn't work on any one bit specifically, but I would work on different parts of the film, different characters. I wasn't like some of the senior animators who stuck to a character and drew that character and nothing else. I did some work on Tati, I did some work on Alice, and some of the minor characters as well. So I got to have my hand right across the film, really.
There's some areas of Edinburgh that have been animated. How did they do that? Did they take photos? Did they go and stand you know, in the streets and take sketch? Or how did that happen?
All the things you described, they went to the locations themselves. The team, the background artists, they were led by a really phenomenal artist, a guy called Bjarne Hansen, who worked in Denmark, and he came over and was just able to really see the beauty and the light in Edinburgh. He was able to capture what Edinburgh looks like pretty much every time of day, and we could see that from very early on. Like I say, he could see what most people enjoy about Edinburgh, but he was able to put that down onto newer visual formats. And that was by going out, and they would go up Carlton Hill, you know, the scene to Jenner's, and we went to Jenner's. The team took a trip to Mull. You know, they went to the places that were part of the film. So took colour sketches, took photographs, you know, and they were posted all around. The thing about the studio, it was just full of colour and full of pictures and full of drawings. So everywhere there was just pictures of Edinburgh and pictures of, you know, the kind
rabbits.
Of rabbits. There was many rabbits all over the studio. And we also had great, very, very talented young artists. For example, we had a guy called Bjorn, who just was very talented, as well as we worked with another girl called Isabel, who just captured the kind of beauty and the intricacy of the detail of the buildings in Edinburgh. And that was one of their jobs, to be able to just capture that kind of intricacy of some of the stonework and the landscape of Edinburgh. So yeah, it was just it was a complex process, and we had researchers and we had people that were bringing together all these things. But it was also about kind of the talent of the people that we had on the project, that were just really able to see what most of us in Edinburgh see, but put it down on paper.
And there was one amazing shot where it was zoomed out from above and it went around. I don't know, how was that done?
That was done by a really great artist called Campbell McAllister. And Campbell is just a really great... that was actually done in 3D. It was one of the few shots that were done in 3D. And Campbell was just able to understand the layout of the city and build it, literally kind of build it, and then do camera moves around it so that it kind of shows you the whole of the city. And literally one guy did that shot just to kind of show the beauty of the city that was kind of being shown.
And how, after working on the film for so long, it was over 3 years, when it was finally finished and you got to see it, how did you feel? How was that?
It was amazing to see the premiere at the film festival, because I used to work at the film festival. To then have a major film in it was just phenomenal. It was amazing, and to have our crew back, a lot of our crew came back because we've all that now gone on to different projects. Was just fantastic, because it was a very, very difficult project to make for lots of different reasons. But it was a major accomplishment to get it finished. Just all sorts of things like the state of the British film industry at the moment, to get an independent film made in Scotland is amazing. It was, you know, and thanks to our producer Bob Last, who really put everything into making this film. He was part of the process that helped us to actually push it through and just really make this film. And it just got it to the process where we were able to show it to so many people. And it's been amazing that we've actually had a great reception for it after just the slog. It really, as much as it's been a beautiful and amazing film to work, it was a real slog at times as well, because we were trying to recapture a different age and... also recapture an artistic tree that's been lost. Disney are trying to, you know, they're doing the same thing with kind of Princess and the Frog, and we're really trying to bring something to life that hasn't been done in a long time, in certainly in the UK. We're all very proud that we've accomplished that.
How does it feel to walk along the red carpet?
Well, you know, carpet's carpet.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
nobody was interested in us anyway. They only wanted to see Sylvain and
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery and Sir Patrick Stewart and America Ferrera and, you know, all the names that were there. Nobody cared about us.
But what was awesome about the premiere was that Justin's also worked on another film that was around the same time that we got to work with. We got to see the crew that were also in his other film. So for us, that night was just a really special occasion, because major films that we've both been working on both came together at that festival, and so it was pretty special to get to kind of have our film that we worked on for so long brought together, and your additional film.
And share it with some really good friends from another movie.
So just in the other movie, you were working on Monsters. How would you compare the two?
For me, it wasn't 100 miles away from each other. Because my job on Monsters, I was the assistant editor, so I actually spent a lot of time sitting in hotel rooms while everybody else was out in the jungle, in the desert, and doing the hard work. There were about 6 of us who went over to Central America to shoot it. And obviously there's various film company people back here in Britain. They're based down in London.
Uh-huh. So who were the 6? There was two actors.
We had 2 actors, uh-huh, who were Americans from Texas, but they're Hollywood people now.
Mm-hmm.
Scoot McNairy was the male lead, and Whitney Able was the female lead. At the time, they were dating, so it was a real... we kind of had a wager going that it would either make or break them.
Uh-huh.
And obviously it made them, because just before it had its UK premiere here at Edinburgh, they got married.
Wow.
So they came to Edinburgh on their honeymoon, uh-huh, to do a working honeymoon, which was, you know, very selfless of them. But it was great to see them, because I hadn't seen them for a year.
Wow.
We finished shooting in the May of 2009, having started shooting in the October of 2008, and we did a trip over for about 6 weeks in Central America, and then went back again,
mm-hmm,
in 2009 to finish it off. But it was a very different experience, and even though I say I spent most of my time in hotel rooms, if you see the movie, we all did the journey that they do. We took the train ride, we went to all these different places, and it was a real group experience, and probably an experience I'll never get again. And I don't know if anyone will ever have the opportunity to make a movie quite as out there as we did.
And it got best of the film festival.
Well, it got Gareth Edwards, the director, won Best New Director,
mm-hmm,
at the film festival. And he has basically been going non-stop for the last 6 months, travelling around the world, promoting the movie. It's world premiere in Texas at South by Southwest, and everybody was there, and then it was shown at Cannes, and then Edinburgh, and it's been to LA, and it's been to across Europe. It's been picked up. It's coming out in the UK on November the 12th.
So we should all be looking out for that, for Monsters coming out.
Absolutely. If you didn't see it at the festival, even if you did see it at the festival, go and see it again.
I saw it at the festival.
Because it's going to be better, because it's actually going to be finished.
Okay. Oh, so it's going to be different to what was at the festival.
There's going to be some stuff that's been fixed.
Okay. I thought it was amazing, and I couldn't believe that only, 6 of you made this stunning film. And also, does that mean it was quite low budget?
Incredibly low budget.
And so has the guy who made it, is he minted now?
No, because that's not how it works.
Oh, okay. Why not?
It has been sold in many territories across the world, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's made money.
Right.
We shot the film. Our shooting budget was very low budget. There's rumours around the internet that it was made for 10 grand. It's not that cheap.
Right.
It is well under a million.
Okay.
But the overall budget is much higher because there's a lot of other things. But what we took to Central America with us was well under a million. And that's what we did.
And in contrast, The Illusionist was 13 million? Is that about right?
Yeah, around 13 million, yeah.
So that's just as a contrast.
As a contrast for that. But I mean, they're very different films. In an animated film, your budget goes on your crew because you have to get great talent and you have to have them for a long time. So they're pretty much the opposite films in some ways. But someone like Pixar or, you know, the big names that are making out big animated films, they're spending 100 million, you know.
Wow.
Their budgets in contract are hundreds of millions, right, as opposed to our kind of...
Well, they have to pay a lot of people for a long time. We had to pay very few people for a short time, and most of our budget actually went on beer. No, well, hotels and beer.
And is it true there wasn't a script that a lot of the...
Not in the conventional sense. No, it was all very ad-libbed. Our actors were absolutely amazing. There was no plan, no structure. Gareth had plot points and he had a storyline that he wanted to get across, but he didn't have any dialogue. He didn't have any specific locations he wanted. We just drove around Central America in a couple of vans, and every so often Gareth would spot something and stop the vans and jump out and, "Scoot, Whitney, come on, we gotta go. Right, you're here. This is what's happening. This is what just happened. Don't worry if we haven't filmed it yet, but this is what just happened. And, okay, so you're trying to get this point across. Go."
Wow.
And they would just go.
Awesome.
And then it would still be, you know, a few takes to do it, but the first take would set the tone and Gareth would see something he liked. He'd say, "Oh, I really like that line. Keep that, but kind of put this emphasis on it." And, you know, or... "Could you do it in this way?" And it was really made up on the spot.
Wow. So that's quite different in contrast to The Illusionist. I imagine would be very planned and meticulous and set
Yeah,
out.
Absolutely. They really are contrasting movies. The way Monsters was made is really unique within the film industry in that it took a kind of a really amazing and quite maverick film director of Gareth. Who has a great vision and the lack of script, the lack of kind of just anything that for myself as a production manager that I heard it and went, "Oh my goodness, you can't make a film that way," because I want to plan everything. But you know, that the way that they made the film was really amazing, and the things that Gareth did with effects and all sorts of things was amazing and kind of low budget and stuff. But
on his own laptop in his own flat.
With an animated film, everything has to be planned beforehand because you're kind of making a film backwards. You start with an edited version and then you make it. You make a thing called an animatic, which is your film, but in a really rough version. So that's what you make and you keep to that. The Illusionist was slightly different in that there was a few changes made, but that's essentially, you know, an animated film is quite different in that sense.
Justin, for the people who haven't heard of Monsters, could you sum up the storyline in just a paragraph?
It's a near future indie road movie love story with a backdrop of a world now infested with alien life forms. But it's not, despite the title and despite what even the trailers are suggesting to a bit, and a lot of the talk on the internet from people who haven't actually seen it, it's not District 9, it's not an alien movie, they're just there. They're a circumstance that causes the story to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't like scary movies, but I loved Monsters because it's a suspense, and but it's not kind of head chopping off gore or anything like that.
No, it's a real kind of indie. It's a road movie with it just follows these two characters and their growing relationship.
And Fiona, for people who haven't yet seen The Illusionist, could you sum up the story in a paragraph?
The Illusionist is a relationship between a father and a daughter, based on an old era from the musical generation of the kind of 50s and 60s, where an illusionist is kind of becoming to the end of his career, and he moves through the country, ends up in Mull. He meets a girl who believes in what he does, and as they journey together, their relationship develops, and I won't spoil what happens, but it's quite a sad ending in that, you know, that relationship changes. So it goes from being, it's still magic, it's a magical thing, but it's also about sadness, and often that's a capture of what Jacques Tati did as well, about his movies. They're about modernity and how that catches up with people.
And on the subject of children, Fiona and Justin, you're married and you have a lovely little boy, Ethan, who's just one, and his name actually appears at the end in the credits of The Illusionist. Could you explain how he got a credit on there?
Ethan was born...
So glad you didn't ask us to explain how we got him.
Ethan was born shortly after I came off the project. So that means that... but was still involved with the project. So Ethan was a production baby, and animation films usually involve... in their credits, they put on who was born during the movie, and Sally and Sylvan, they had two children in the movie as well, and so their children are credited, and Ethan is credited on the movie right at the end. If you do watch it, then Ethan Hall is credited at the end of the movie. So we're really proud that as a family that we're all involved with the making of The Illusionist. So yeah.
And can I ask, you're clearly both really creative, you both work in film. Did you meet on a film set?
In a manner of speaking.
We met while I was trying to make a film happen and didn't know how to end it, and a mutual friend suggested that we to hook up to try and help me finish the film. And it just so happened that he did, and he took over the filmmaking.
Didn't take over the filmmaking. I just saved your movie. And you know, somebody stole that movie and it's a TV commercial now.
What was the movie?
The movie was, it was a short film and it was gone, and it was about someone running running frantically, and it was really hectic and like as if they were being chased manically, and it turns out they're just running for a train and then missed the train, and that was it. But it was a very short 20-second thing. But it was brilliant.
And now Illusionist and Monsters.
Yeah, and then we've moved on from since there, and we're both still making movies. And we're really excited about what we're doing in the future.
And you both live in Leith just now, so what is it that you love about Leith?
What do we love about Leith? I personally, well, we live on the New Haven side of Leith, and I love the area. I think it has this sense of community that is not found everywhere, and it's got a lot of history, it's got a lot of people around it that kind of old and new. There's people like myself and Justin who've moved into the community, and being able to live here and enjoy it, whereas there's a lot of people who've lived here for generations, and that's really exciting that we're mixing together. But personally, I love walking down New Haven Harbour. New Haven Lighthouse and New Haven Harbour are just, for me, places of just real sanctuary. They're just beautiful places, no matter what season, no matter where you are. I used to walk there an awful lot when I was pregnant. I take my boy there an awful lot, and the light and the sun and all sorts of things, I just find it one of the most beautiful places. The light that was captured in The Illusionist, I think, you know, it's this kind of stuff that we see every day walking down New Haven Harbour. But even just, you know, I just like walking along Great Junction Street. A lot of my daily routines as a mother, I go to Leith Library, I go to just all sorts of places around Leith. I just spend my life working around Leith and meeting people and talking to people, and I just love the community here. I think it's a really strong and really special place.
Yeah. And Justin, what about you? What would be your favourite things about Leith?
Well, I'm actually a big fan of the fact that it's downhill to get home from work. So I ride my bike around the city, and I just get to ride downhill from work in the evening. It's great.
And the bike path.
Oh yeah, the bike path's right at the back of the house. And we've got great views of the Forth.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure to chat to you both. I'm really excited to have been able to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time. And I hear that you're soon to be moving, so good luck for the future and whatever that holds. I'm sure we'll hear of great things from both of you. Thank you very much.
It's lovely to talk to you.
You're welcome.